Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's Monday morning, and I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's January 21st, 2013, episode 576, and this episode today is brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday!
Well, good morning, everybody. We hope you had a terrific weekend. We had a, Jamie, I got to tell you, Jennifer and I had quite a weekend. We were, Saturday, we went out to the Black Prong driving trials, which is not too far, about a half an hour from our house. And Wendy, the co-host of the driving radio show, Dr. Wendy Ying, was over there. She was navigating during the marathon phase. We got over Saturday and watched the marathon, which a bunch of carriages go. And, of course, the marathon phase is like the cross-country phase on when you're doing a riding event. And Wendy was the one standing on the back, you know, swinging side to side, keeping the carriage from tipping over. So
wow.
We posted a video on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning of the Water Complex. And so I hope everybody gets a chance to go to Horses in the Morning Facebook page and take a look at the video. That was Judy Fryer driving one of Wendy's horses and Wendy on the back. So that was Dante, a beautiful horse Wendy has. It's a sport cob. And really cool horse. So we got to see a lot of the combinations go and some people we knew, and it was just a lot of fun and an absolutely beautiful, gorgeous day here in Florida.
But that's awesome. Yeah, Glenn, call back real quick because you're breaking up a little bit, but I'll talk to your lovely wife about your weekend because I love it that you guys actually did more on the weekend than I did, Jennifer. My husband's out of town. I'm pregnant. I did nothing. I really did nothing. Like, I went to, like, a store. That's basically it. I went to a carpet store. So I was so boring this weekend. So you got to go to these trials. What else did you guys get into?
Let's see. We went over to the trials, rode the horse a lot, and then on Sunday we went out to a Civil War reenactment about an hour away from here in a little town called, I forget what it was called, Little Town. Got a lot of those here. And it was funny because the cavalry was in short supply, and most of the horses were period accurate.
Really?
No haircut on those horses. No.
Yeah. No brushing either.
Really? Where was the town, Glenn? Jennifer couldn't remember.
Boy, I'm not going to be able to remember either. It was down along the Gulf Coast. We didn't drive. My brother drove, so I wasn't paying particular attention to that. But it was fun. We had a great time. I got to meet a couple of the people who had chatted up, a couple of the guys who were reenactors that had horses, the draft horses that pulled the cannons and stuff. We've been to a lot of reenactments, and this one was the longest as far as, not necessarily the most reenactors, although I had several hundred there, but it was the longest battle that I've ever seen them fight. And the cannons, they must have had, what, Jennifer, 15, 20 cannons. And usually the cannons will shoot once or twice in the beginning during the battle, and as the soldiers are moving back and forth across the field shooting each other. But these cannons just kept firing for half an hour. And loud. My God, it's loud. It's really
Can I
loud.
Ask you a question, just from an outsider perspective here? What on earth possessed you, and where does one find the listing to attend a Civil War reenactment, and why would you go to that?
Because it's absolutely fascinating to watch, and it's really cool, and thousands of people, thousands and thousands show up for these Civil War reenactments. The one at Gettysburg that they do every year at July 4th week, they have the biggest reenactment in the country. They get thousands of – they get almost 1,000 horses. They get tens of thousands of reenactors and 100,000 spectators every day. It is fun to watch. I mean, one of the biggest ones we ever saw was at Williamsburg. We happened to be there for a week during their 250th anniversary of Williamsburg, and they had a huge reenactment there and it was really cool to see. It's just really cool to see. If you haven't seen it once, you have to go see it because
I'm not trying to knock it or anything. I think it's pretty cool, and I've definitely seen stuff like that in the movies, and I know that Smokey, who we've talked to a million times, does that. And I was actually, I was an extra in a movie about Andersonville, the prison, and that is like serious Civil War reenacting and all sorts of craziness. And we were starving prisoners basically in this, and we just basically hung out in this prison. Really fun as people in the background. But the one thing that I want to point out to you while you're talking about this is that if my father is listening, he is cringing. But you know, my daddy is a Georgia boy. His family's from Georgia. Everybody's from Georgia. They're all from Georgia. And my daddy would say right now that ain't nothing civil about that war. And don't you call – my dad was a history teacher, okay?
How did he get away with this? Your dad would be happy to know, though, that the Confederates won the battle yesterday. So.
Okay. I'm going to tell you, he doesn't call it the Civil War. It wasn't no Civil War. It's the war between the states. It's the war between the states, Jamie. Don't you dare call it a Civil War. And don't give him a book or anything with the title Civil War. I want no Civil War. Do you know that my father, have you seen the movie Glory?
Yeah, I love that movie.
Matthew Broderick.
Yeah, great movie.
And I go to that movie with my dad and my mom. I was in high school. And in this, basically, it's a war between the states movie where the northern aggressors, my dad called them, come down to the south and are trying to take over, but they lose. And they lose this particular battle. And you followed the whole movie through this entire battalion and these guys, and you've gotten to know them, and you're pouring your soul, and Matthew Broderick and the guy who played Wesley on The Princess Bride, they're all in this. And they're not to be a spoiler, but it is history. They're being tossed into a grave at the end of it, okay? One by one. I am sobbing. My mother is sobbing. Every single person in the theater is sobbing, Glenn. And what does my father do? He stands up and starts clapping. in the movie Glory when everybody in the theater is dying and just sobbing their eyes out. Yeah! That's my father.
Well, the one thing about the reenactments is no humans or animals are killed in the reenactment. They use blanks. They do use blanks. I got to tell you, though, I was amazed at the horses because, you know, the cannons are really loud. And the horses on the field, they had horses there representing cavalry, probably 20 or 30 of them. And they're riding around in the back, and they had a guy that looked exactly like General Lee. I mean, he from a distance, you could not tell it wasn't General Lee. He was a good reenactor. Yeah, I mean, I just went, there's General Lee. And then he was riding around in the back. Well, the one horse I noticed, they had this really short cannon that was more like an artillery piece of some kind, mortar. And there was a horse that was standing right off 4 feet from the front of that thing when it went off. And that horse did not flinch. So Jennifer just determined either he's deaf or he's just really well broke. I don't know which, but I was impressed. Because imagine bringing Jet to the front of a cannon.
Oh, God. No.
It was fun. We did have a good weekend. No, but we had a lot to talk about on the show today.
I know, but I just want to ask one more question. Jennifer, is the reenacting thing, because, you know, like, I get weepy at certain things. Would this, is it, the reenactor thing a thing where women cry, like, oh, no, or is it just, like, whatever?
Rare, this particular one, yes. The guy who was doing, because they generally have somebody on the loudspeaker that tells you what's happening on the battlefield, kind of like you have a commentator for football. And this particular one, it was a cry fest.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
God.
He told some stories that had us all going. But there was a funny moment I got to tell you about. We'll post a picture of it on our Facebook page. Let me tell you about this real quick.
Right. Oh, my gosh.
This guy, this Confederate guy, dies in front of us. And I do know from talking to him that they decide who's going to die at the beginning and when you're going to die in the battle so that you know when to fall over. And they do have medics, quote, unquote. They're all dressed up like they would have been back then, and they run over and check everybody because they want to make sure some of these old guys haven't had heart attacks.
Oh, my gosh.
So, and apparently that has happened, so that's why they do it now. They go over and they actually do check everybody to make sure that they're okay. Well, this guy died in the very beginning of the battle, and it was right in front of us, 2 feet in front of us with these guns going off and you know, losing your hearing. And this guy's laying there, and then the battle moves away a little bit, and then all of a sudden everybody around us starts cracking up, starts laughing. And we look over, and this dead guy has his little camera, and he's videotaping the battle while laying down. He's sort of hiding the camera, videotaping it from his perspective there. And it was funny. You videotaped the whole thing laying down there, and everybody was laughing, and we got a chuckle out of that. So we have a picture of him dead on the ground videotaping with his little camera.
That's awesome. Well, I'm sorry to get you off in some tangent about Civil War reenacting. It's just something I've never really been around, and I'm curious about it. So we'll move on past it. We'll start talking
They probably don't have a lot of them in Arizona. There weren't a lot of battles out there. So.
No, we go to Tombstone and watch the gunfight at OK Corral. Like,
Corral,
that's what
there you
happens
go.
In Arizona. That's our reenacting. Jennifer, what is coming up on today's show?
On today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, the horse world has rolled out the red carpet as award season continues, and we will be regaling you throughout the show in today's horsey headlines. And taking the mid-show guest chair today, rising star Casey Smith, horse girl and up-and-coming country music sensation, will be here. And Wiley, the voice of Horse Nation, is here once again, and it seems that she has drawn the line in the sand in the indoor arena. So stay tuned for that little chat. So stay sharp, folks. The shindig is about to begin.
Thank you, Jennifer. Well, my daily whinny goes out to our adopted horse, Mucho Macho Man. It's a racehorse we've been following, and we talk to their owners, his owners all the time and everything. And he was making his comeback first race of the year this year, and it was here in Florida at the Sunshine Millions Classic. And that was over the weekend, and let's take a listen to what happened.
Falling line. They're off in the Sunshine Millions Classic. And Mucho Macho Man broke the best. I'm Stepping It Up is center on the inside of him, and Fort Loudon goes up alongside of those two, and the three of them go wide. I'm Stepping It Up really floated those two out going into that turn, and now Mucho Macho Man is shuffled back into third position early. Cash Rules is fourth on the outside. Ron the Greek's not too far behind. He's only 5.5 lengths off the lead. Atoned is after that, and Longshot Decaf again is far behind. 23 flat, a snappy opening quarter mile. Onto the back stretch they go, and it's I'm Stepping It Up, Fort Loudon. Mucho Macho Man is kept outside of those two by Mike Smith. He's to the outside of the leaders, and now three of them are closely packed on the backstretch. Cash Rules is 2.5 behind them. Ron the Greek closer today, down on the inside with 4 lengths to make up, and the trailer is Atoned, and Decaf again continues to be far behind after a 46.25 mile. There's a 0.5 mile to go. I'm Stepping It Up, Fort Loudon. Mucho Macho Man just to the outside of them, and now he's edging up and he's making his move for the lead on the far turn, and Ron the Greek is right behind him. Ron the Greek's only 1.5 lengths off the lead, and Cash Rules is going up on the outside, and the two of them just went by Mucho Macho Man. It is Ron the Greek who's taking the lead. Mucho Macho Man is not firing today. He's dropping back through the field. Ron the Greek turns for home with a 4-length lead. On the outside, Cash Rules is second, and then it's Fort Loudoun, and Mucho Macho Man didn't run his race today, but Ron the Greek did, and he will trounce his competition. Ron the...
Well, there you go. Mucho Macho Man broke well, but faded back, and what he didn't tell you is it was a mud bowl. It was like soup. I mean, serious mud soup, and one of the racing manager for Reef Thoroughbred Racing, Finn Green, who Jennifer actually interviewed not too long ago, posted this on the Facebook page for Mucho Macho Man. Mucho Macho Man will return to the racetrack on Monday morning, January 21st. He came out of the race yesterday in very good physical condition. He did not like the conditions of the racetrack on Saturday. Thank you for your prayers and support. Your phenomenal group of supporters. So he's fine. He didn't come up injured or anything. He just, you know, he broke really well. And if you watch the video, he was doing really well. But the further he got, the further bogged down he got in the mud. And you could just tell he didn't like it.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like, I mean, he finished in dead last. And the second he got some mud in his face, he just shut down. I'm glad he's okay, because something like that, when a horse is leading like that and then ends up last, usually there's something wrong. But Kathy Repo, the trainer, says she can't find anything wrong with him, and they've all agreed that he just did not like that track. So now they know he's not a mudda. He's mudda was what? Not a mudda. He's not a mudda.
And Ron the Greek's not a bad horse either. We've run into Ron the Greek several times before. He's a good horse.
He's
so
amazing. Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, they call Ron the Greek and Mucho Macho Man are arch nemesis. they're like good versus evil.
Well, apparently, when Ron the Greek was a kid, he liked to play in the mud, and Mucho Macho Man didn't. So
I guess so. Mucho Man's pulling clean boy. Well, I have two Daily Winnies, and my first one is going to go out to, well, I had planned on my first Daily Winning going out to the Atlanta Falcons, who would now be heading to the Super Bowl.
Not happening.
But that did not happen. And I'll tell you why. Because my husband's team, the San Francisco 49ers, beat my team and are going to the freaking Super Bowl. I'm sorry. Like, winning the World Series for the San Francisco Giants wasn't enough. Now they have to beat the Falcons and go to the Super Bowl all in 1 year? Within 365 days, they have won the World Series and are going to the Super Bowl. I call BS. There's some cheating going on. I want my Falcons back.
Well, and, you know, there's an interesting story, backstory to this Super Bowl, and that's Baltimore beat New England, which everybody was kind of surprised with, too. But you've got two brothers that are actually facing off in the Super Bowl, and that's the Harbaugh brothers, one coaching the San Francisco 49ers, Jim Harbaugh, and you've got John Harbaugh, who is the Baltimore Ravens coach. So you've got the two. It's first time in history of any sport, apparently, that this has happened.
That's
so
awesome. Great story.
Yeah.
Who cares? I hate it. They suck. Next Winnie.
You know what? You're going to be watching the Super Bowl, though, because your husband's going to make sure of it.
Oh, I know. Moving on, my actual real Daily Winnie goes out to Wise Dan. Wise Dan, who, famous racehorse, had just an amazing year at the Breeders' Cup, actually set a track record for the fastest. And he was in the turf sprint. Wise Dan was up for the Eclipse Award. He was nominated for several of them. He was nominated for the, Older Male of the Year. He was nominated for the Male Turf Horse, and he was also nominated for Horse of the Year. Well, since 1981, John Henry, nobody has won all of those. Well, Wise Dan did. He is amazing. He won all three Horse of the Year. He also won Older Male and Male Turf Horse, and just an absolutely awesome night for Wise Dan. Good for him. He is by a Kentucky-bred horse named Wiseman's Ferry, and you don't really know that name very well. That's not a very well-known sire, and sadly, Wise Dan, his owners were not so wise. Wise Dan is a gelding. So
you see, now that's the one time that we would not encourage gelding.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what the irony is that John Henry was a gelding as well. So
that's true. Yeah, that's true.
Castrate more, they'll win more. Geld them all. So just to run through the Eclipse Awards as well, two-year-old males. And the reason we do the two-year-olds and talk about those is because that's who you'll see next year, hopefully, in the you know, Breeders' Cup and the Triple Crown races. Two-year-old male went to Shanghai Bobby. Two-year-old female went to Beholder. Three-year-old male went to I'll Have Another, Glenn. Your boy, I'll Have Another. There was really no competition for him. Bodie Meister came in second, very, very distant second, along with Painter, Union Rags, and the Lumber Guy. Distant. I mean, not even in the same, like 247 votes for I'll Have Another. Bodie Meister in second place got 3. So big, big difference. 3-year-old female went to Questing. Older male, Wise Dan. Older female, our girl, Royal Delta. Woo! Male sprinter went to Trinneberg. Female sprinter went to Groupie Doll. Male turf horse, Wise Dan. Horse of the year, Wise Dan. Trainer, Dale Romans. Jockey, Ramon Dominguez. So congratulations to all the Eclipse Awards winners. It was apparently an awesome, awesome night. And the people of Wise Dan are very happy that they won and very sad he's a gelding.
And, of course, you talked about John Henry. John, you know, a lot of people got to meet John Henry because he was in the Hall of Champions at the Kentucky Horse Park. And they have a statue right by the Hall of Champions now because he died in 2007, I believe. I think he was like 32 years old, something like that. But I actually went over for the press conference for the unveiling of the statue. And he was there was a large crowd there for that memorial service for him. Neat horse.
I went to school at the horse park when he was still alive, and yes, he was a gelding, and yes, it was very apparent why they gelded him, because even as a gelding, he would bite your face off. I mean, I felt sorry for the people that led him around in the parade of the Hall of Champions, because they'd have to lead him out, and it's basically like, oh God, please don't kill me. Please don't kill me. I mean, you know, up until his death, like, he was still a son of a gun all the way until he's, like, 32 years old.
They kept him in paddocks that people couldn't get close to him because of that. Also, he was, you know, most racehorses, they use chains over their noses when they work with them. And then, you know, a lot of the thoroughbreds will get out of that as time goes on. They used a chain over his nose to the day he died.
Yeah, they did. No kidding. I bet we'll see Wise Dan actually when he retires. Like, just like Cigar, who sadly was not a gelding but was sterile, Cigar lives there, so might as well go ahead and put Wise Dan next to him. I mean, geez. But they're actually going to race him next year.
And Cigar is just the opposite. You and I have met Cigar. They take Cigar out and they walk him around and he says hi to everybody and you can pet him. I mean, he's just the opposite.
Yeah, he really is. And he's still intact, so it makes no sense. Yeah, it's just that was why he was Horse of the Year that many times. And we'll have to. They probably gelded Wise Dan for the same exact reason. So hopefully we'll see him at the Kentucky Horse Park someday. But we got a lot more racing to see from him coming soon. He's actually starting back.
That was where you kind of surprised about the Trainer of the Year. Were you expecting Bob Baffert or Todd Pletcher? Dale Romans won, but were you expecting one of these Bill Mott, maybe?
I can't say that I was. I was all that surprised. You know, I mean, you got to love Todd Pletcher, and I think Bob Baffert is a little bit behind. I love Chad Brown, who came in fourth. But, no, Dale Romans had a pretty awesome year, so give it to him.
And it wasn't even closer. The votes were 119-87 for Todd Pletcher, so he took it by a good margin. And so did Ramon Dominguez, the jockey. You know, he won by a big margin this year. He had a great year. Well, a couple other awards things from the weekend, a lot happening over the weekend as far as awards were concerned, and that is the USEF convention happened at the end of last week. And, of course, they always announce the USEF Equestrian of the Year and the USEF Horse of the Year. And this year, I think it was pretty clear, and there is voting that goes on for this, too, but I think it was pretty clear who was going to win that, and that was, any guesses who won Equestrian of the Year?
Well, I think it was between my pick, I think, and I voted for her, was Manoir de Carnville, which is Sinead Halpin's horse, who went around and took second at Burley. But Rich Fellers had Flexible, and to me, jumpers always beat eventers just because they're easier to see.
Well, you're right. Rich Fellers won the 2012 USEF Equestrian of the Year. He was the first American in 25 years to win the Rolex FEI World Cup final, placing the highest placing U.S. equestrian at the London 2012 Olympic Games, the winner of all four observation classes he entered, and now he takes the USEF Equestrian of the Year to add to its collection. Eight equestrians were nominated for the award of that, and he took it apparently easily. And then Flexible, his horse, won Horse of the Year, co-won Horse of the Year. There were actually two Horses of the Year this year. And Flexible, you know, has done very well. He's won almost everything. They were the highest placed finishers for the American team, which was eighth place finish for the individual jumping competition on the Olympics last year. So he did very well. Jersey Boy also won as co-winner of Horses of the Year, and that's a hunter horse. We talked about this horse. Remember when we went over who the nominees were? This horse has dominating the hunting world. There was no doubt this horse was going to win, and I think that's why they had co-winners this year. But, yeah, this horse is just dominate. I mean, it's just basically everything you could win, this horse has won in the hunter world, and a lot of money, too. So,
Yeah. Well, good for them. And I don't understand what this means, Glenn. And is this because you were nominated? But apparently Manoir de Carnville, let's call him Tate. His name, barn name is Tate, actually won the 2012 USEF Horse of Honor. Now, is that like a, you came so close. So we're going to give you
it.
Second
yep.
place.
That's okay. Correct. Yep. We're going to give you a ribbon and pat you on the head.
You're a horse of honor. Well, obviously, it was an honor to be nominated. Sure it was.
That's
we all
right.
know that.
Yep.
But
that's what that means.
She had an amazing year, and she's such a lovely person. So anyway, good congratulations to everybody who won a Pegasus Award and an Eclipse Award. It was awards day. What are the Oscars? Any minute now.
Coming soon. Yeah, that's right. Well, we're going to take a break for our commercial, and then I'm going to play you, immediately following the commercial, I'm going to play you a song by the name of Country Girl, and I want to play you this song. We're playing a song a little early today, yes, but we have a up-and-coming country star and a horse girl and a country girl, and I want to just play a little of her music before we introduce you to her, and we'll have her here in just a minute, but this is her song, Country Girl, and we're going to be right back. Winter season is the time of year when our horses' respiratory systems often show signs of stress. More time in the barn, traveling long distances to winter quarters, and back-to-back competitions for weeks on end can all take a heavy toll on your horse's respiratory system. That's why Omega Alpha Equine has developed a variety of products to keep your horse's airways functioning properly. Airwaves, Lung Flush, Herbicough, Respifree, and Stasis have all been developed to keep your horse's respiratory system in peak condition. Ask for Omega Alpha's all-natural products at your local tack and feed supplier or visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. That's OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
Talking
Well, that was Horse Girl, Country Girl, and upcoming musician. I think you're going to be hearing her name quite a bit here in the future. Her name is Casey Smith. Good morning, Casey.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. You know, that song probably applies to 80% of our audience here listening today.
Well, good. That means they might, like, want to buy it or something.
Casey, wait, now, wait. I got to say, I'm as country girl as they come, but I cannot skin a buck, nor would I ever try, nor do I ever want to.
Well, you know, I learned that from my dad, so I guess I just got, my brother wouldn't do it. He was a little squirmish, so I had to, you know, take up where my brother would leave off, so.
I got you. Some girls play football with their dads. You skin animals with your dad. Whatever.
She's from Tennessee. He's from Tennessee. Hunting is required, I think. I think it's mandatory.
Yeah, everybody kind of looks at you crazy if you're like, I've never done that. So you just kind of have to do it.
Well, you're in college now. Did you write that song, by the way, Country Girl?
Yes, I did. Me and my co-writer, Daniel, we wrote that together.
You know what I like, too, about your music, and we're going to play another song here after we're done interviewing you today. But one of the things I really like about your music is it's not stylized. It's not gimmicky. You're singing. You're really good at it. And that's one of the things I think so many of the country stars today are just, you know, they just synthesize everything. And it's just not good.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. That makes me feel good. I'm doing something right.
And do you love doing I know you do a lot of stage stuff. You're out traveling around doing it. Do you love doing that stuff, or would you rather be in the studio? What do you like the best?
I love traveling because you get to meet people, and then I get to do my favorite thing, which is sing. You know, I like to see the crowd, you know, liking what I do, especially the little kids, because I like when the little kids come up and tell me they want to be like me, or, you know, they look up to me. That makes me feel good because then I know that they could be looking up somebody else, and at least I'm doing it right. So I want to be a good role model for them. I don't want them to, you know, ever think I'm doing something bad, I guess.
Well, that's terrific. And I know that you have quite a schedule right now. You're full time in college. And what's your degree? What are you pursuing?
Recording industry, music business. So.
Well, terrific. Well, there you go. And you're also a horse girl.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
I have 4 horses, actually. I used to have a little more, but, you know, we dwindled down the pack. So now I just have 4. I have 2 spotted saddle horses and 2 Tennessee walkers.
And is your family into horses? Have you always been a horse kid?
Pretty much, yeah. My dad always would trail ride a lot, and my mom actually grew up in the, you know, Tennessee walking horse. My uncle is, great uncle, is actually a trainer for the Tennessee walking horses, so.
Wow, so you grew up trail riding then in Tennessee?
Yeah, I did a lot of that.
You know, I learned on a Tennessee Walker, so they're terrific horses for that.
Yes, they are.
Now you recently played at the Nationals down there at the Tennessee Walking Nationals, didn't you?
At the Celebration?
Yes.
Yes, I performed the national anthem for them, which I'd always wanted to do that because I used to go when I was a little girl and sit in the stands and watch. And then think, man, I want to do that. And then I started working as an usher for the Celebration. That way I'd get to stand near the gate so I could watch all the horses come in, which was pretty cool. So, and then I get to watch my family and cheer them on because I had some family members competing in the ring, which was pretty cool to get to stand there for free and watch them.
So now are you getting much time to ride at this point, or are you too busy with the music in college?
My schedule with singing and school keeps me pretty busy, so I don't get to ride as much as I would like to. But I love to ride, and I try to ride whenever I get a chance. But my school keeps me pretty busy and my singing, too. So I'm usually on the road, and if I'm not on the road, then I'm at school. So.
Well, I spoke to your manager, and she has high hopes for you. So I knew that she probably is keeping you pretty busy.
Oh, yeah. If I'm usually on the road or in the studio or signing autographs. And I actually have a show today at 11 o'clock, and I have another interview, too. So.
Well, there you go. Well, Jamie, did you say something?
I was going to say, well, you have a show at 11 o'clock in the morning. How do you warm up for something like that?
Oh, that's a good question, Jamie. Why do you have to ask questions like that?
I'm curious because, you know, most people are used to singing at night or something like that, and you're singing at 11. What kind of show is it?
It is for Chevyville Times-Gazette, and they wanted me to do a little performance and do an interview with them. So I think they're going to be doing a write-up on the end of paper, so.
Well,
they thought
cool.
They want a little music to go along with the story, I guess.
Oh, well, good luck to you. Better, you know.
Thank
what?
You.
I've talked to a lot of country music artists, and a lot of the women, they have told me that when they need to sing in the morning, and I'm not going to name any names, but they actually did it when we did morning radio in Atlanta, they would actually bring a little container of Jack Daniels and swig it right before they started singing.
Really?
This happened to two or three different country artists that had to sing in the morning, and they swig Jack Daniels right before they go on. I'm not saying that because you're probably not 21 yet, but, you know, what country girl hasn't had Jack Daniels, no matter how old you are?
Wow.
You probably had it in your bottle. So
She out hunting, I'm sure she's had. And she also played at the Jack Daniels International Barbecue Competition, which is something I've always wanted to go to.
Oh, it's awesome. You'll have to go. Oh, you're missing out. You have to come to that. That's a great event.
Yeah, because it's like the biggest barbecue competition in the world. I always wanted to be a judge there. I could do that.
Yeah, because it's food.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. There's nothing better. Well, now, are you going to be, do you have any new songs, any new CDs or anything coming out soon?
Been writing, so we'll have some new songs definitely in our shows. We're going to the studio next week to record some new songs, so hopefully I'll have a new CD coming out soon.
Very good. Well, you can find all of Casey's music. Just go to Casey, that's K-A-C-E-Y, CaseySmith.com. Very easy name to remember. She also has a Facebook page and YouTube and Twitter and all that stuff. But you can find all of that at CaseySmith.com. We're going to play another one of your songs. Tell us about Horse Mountain.
Okay. Well, I wrote that one about where I live, actually. I live on a little mountain. And it actually got its name, one of the stories that I've heard, during the Civil War, there was a cave up on the mountain, and they would hide their horses in the cave.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, very good. We're going to play it for everybody. Thank you for joining us this morning, Casey, and good luck.
Thank you so much.
Don't tell anybody I told you to shoot whiskey.
I won't. That's our secret.
See you, Casey.
See ya.
I met my love, and I wore his ring. I bubbled over like a water spring, but then his love ran dry like a summer. I'm gonna climb a horse mountain. I'm gonna stay there all alone. And if I die on horse mountain, let the buzzards pick my bones. If I come or if I go, no one cares for me, I know. Love for me was a big mistake. Maybe death. I'm gonna climb a horse mountain. I'm gonna stay there all alone. And if I die on horse mountain, let the buzzards pick my bones.
Well, that's Casey Smith. You can find all of her music at caseysmith.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is producing today. And we are sponsored today by Omega Alpha Equine. Well, we have some other news here, too, Jamie, that we should get to today. It was a busy news weekend. One of the things is that the kids, speaking of people about Casey's age, there's a whole bunch of them down there in Wellington right now in the show jumping world that are just kicking butt. And they had the $50,000 Wellington Equestrian Realty Grand Prix over the weekend with all the big riders. There were like 54 riders. The names that you've heard for years, McLean Ward, Pessoa, Angle, you know, just the names that you've been used to hearing in the show jumping world for years, forget it. They didn't win the top three over the weekend. You had Reed Really? Kessler. 18-year-old Reed Kessler, we've talked about many times in this show, just did what she was supposed to do, and her horse, Lygest, who you've heard of and actually has done quite well for her, won first place in a jump-off and had a field of eight in the jump-off. So there were quite a few competing in the jump-off. One of her friends for a long time, Katie Dynan, came in second, and Brianne Gutel came in third. Katie is 19 years old, and Brianne is 24. So we had 18-year-old, a 19-year-old, and a 24-year-old beating all of the old-timers down there at Palm Beach over the
weekend. You know what's really funny is probably between Reed Kessler, Katie Dinan, and Brianne Gutel, at least one of them was probably riding in a Pessoa. Do you think that's got to be crazy?
True. That's true.
I just beat the guy whose saddle I'm sitting in.
And if you add up their years, they probably haven't, between the three of them, they haven't been probably alive as long as McLean Ward's been riding.
I know. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
But they did quite well. Won some big bucks over the weekend, too. Now, the next day, McLean came back, by the way, and took the $25,000 Suncoast Championship. So he came back the next day with a different horse and did quite well. But I think that bodes really well, though, for the future of our team here in the U.S. As these riders mature and really get onto the international stage, we might actually have a shot at something here in the future.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's looking good. The young group is good. Can you just, when I hear the stuff like that, can you just imagine how much money is in jumpers and how much, like, these girls were talking, they in the interview, we've been friends since we were on ponies. Probably $100,000 pony. That pony is nonetheless.
That's right.
We've been showing ponies since we were down in Wellington this year for our show jumping with Jessica Springsteen and her dad Bruce. Like, it's just like such a different world. Just such a different world. I mean, they go around and they're like, I won the jumper class. Oh yeah. Like in eventing, I won the little jump off section. Yeah, okay, great. I got a ribbon. They're like, I won the jump off class. I got $25,000.
It's either jumping or raining. You're either going to be in one or the other to make any money in this world.
I'm talking to my unborn son right now. Jumping or raining, dude. Jumping or raining.
And not bronies. Not bronies.
Oh,
bronies, they just haunt me. Every time I read the news, I see bronies in the news. And for those few people that don't know what bronies are, apparently they're adults who really like My Little Pony. And I know
adult men.
Adult men, yeah. And every time I talk about this, I get somebody posts on our Facebook page, well, I still like My Little Ponies. Okay, but most of you are women that are posting that. These are adult men who like My Little Ponies and are proud of it. Well, they did a new documentary, and this is the part I found amazing, okay? They did a new documentary on bronies. The whole thing is called Bronies, the Extremely Unexpected Adult Fans of My Little Pony. That's the name of this documentary. Now, the part that I found amazing, you know, people make a documentary about anything, so I didn't find that too amazing. But what I found amazing is, you know, we have highlighted people in the horse world that have tried to raise money on Kickstarter, which is that internet fundraising site where you can donate and help projects go along. We helped Templeton, remember, do her CD on Kickstarter.
Yeah.
And she raised like $8,000 to put that CD together, and she did it. It was great. It all worked. Well, this group that wanted to do this documentary posted on Kickstarter. Well, not only did they make their fundraising goal, they had to raise their goal several times during the month it was up there, and they raised a total of $320,000, and it became the fifth most successful film and video project on Kickstarter.
Oh, my gosh.
Does that say something about the future of the world?
Well, do you think that, like, the people that donated, I'd love to find out, are they currently bronies that are interested in getting involved, or are they weird people that just really want to see the bronies, like, in action to find out who they are? I mean, could go either way.
$320,000.
Probably a little bit of both.
There have been documentaries up there that we've tried to help that have been for saving Mustangs and rescuing horses and things like that, and they haven't raised, what, $10,000. And here we are, $320,000 for bronies. Sorry, I'm just incredulous over this.
That's amazing.
By the way, if you want to see this documentary, I'm not telling you where to find it. You can find it yourself.
You lie. We're going to play it on the air. One episode is going to be just of that. We're just going to play the Bronies documentary.
Can I put a laugh?
You didn't say the title.
Remember Mystery Science Theater 3000? Do you ever watch that? Where they had the guy and the robot sitting in the front row making fun of old bad B-movies?
Yes.
We can be the guy and his robot, and as it's playing, we could be making the snarky comments.
I love it. I love it. Of course we'll do that. You know you're going to make snarky comments no matter what. Now, just so everybody knows the title, it's called Bronies, the Extremely Unexpected Adult Fans of My Little Pony. This will be a feature-length documentary, and it will examine the stories behind the Bronies, Bro plus Pony, adult fans of My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic. And by the way, sometimes daytime TV, I do take a nap in the middle of the afternoon and I start flipping around looking for something to put on. Most of the time it's SpongeBob SquarePants because it makes me fall asleep. But My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic is always on every afternoon and I can't watch it because seriously, it makes me think of creepy old guys that are sitting there watching the show.
And, you know, it just debuted in 2010. This is not an... I thought the My Little Pony thing had been around for a while. It's fairly new.
No. I mean, I don't know the new guys, but the new My Little Ponies don't even look like My Little Ponies.
Is that right? I couldn't tell you.
They look like brat dolls. Like they look almost like they have so much eye makeup on and they're very dramatic and their hair is flowy and they just don't look like My Little Ponies.
And the fact that we're talking about it, I'm finding disturbing, so let's move on. Somebody posted a video that you wanted to talk about that was funny on our Facebook page.
Yes, I've been trying to see if we can repost it from us so everybody can see it. There is a video, and obviously the person who posted it so fast that they didn't even type it out very well. But it's called Working Cow Horse Odor Working Horse Cow. Probably just like a really bad ad. It's probably supposed to say working cow horse or working horse cow. And Lisa Bick posted it. And oh my gosh, you guys. So this is fantastic. And I cheer when I go. If I've ever been to a rodeo, I always cheer for the cow because, you know, I mean, it's cheer for the cow, not the cowboy. The cow's the one who's going to get the rope thrown around his neck. Well, this is not that kind of thing. This is where the calf or cow, little steer, goes out into the arena, and this is working cow horse. And from what I understand, it's supposed to take the cow and work it to one end of the arena and then back a couple times and like do some turns or with it or something like that. Anyway, the horse is supposed to work the cow into some sort of pattern. So this cow comes out, and this beautiful Palomino, I mean just gorgeous Palomino, comes out, and it's just somebody in the crowd that is filming it. And the horse comes out, and he's cantering around, and there's the cow, and they chase it up one side, and then he chases it down the other, and then the cow's like, I'm done. I am done with this. And then it turns like it's some bullfighter, like some giant bull that you would see in the bullfighting ring. It turns and starts chasing the horse. Chasing the horse. And you think, well, okay, what did the horse do? The horse freaking turned and ran away. Like, repeatedly. Every time. The guy's like, I'm going to turn around and face it. And then all of a sudden, the cow would charge it again. The horse would bolt. This is supposed to be a working cow horse. Like, it's supposed to go after the cow, and the cow is supposed to run away. It's human nature. And it gets to the point where the cow chases him so bad, the horse is, like, on his hind legs running away, trying to get away so fast. And they don't know what to do. And I want to get this person on because I want to know if his horse was ever able to do this job again or is he scarred for life. He was in therapy for the next 10 years.
Yes, talk about embarrassing.
Seriously. I mean, and the whole crowd starts laughing and cheering with the cow.
Oh,
it's hilarious.
Can you imagine the rider? As he was exiting, what kind of comments he got from the other cowboys? Oh, my God.
Oh, I can't imagine, but it was funny because there's like the one guy in the arena that rides around that's supposed to kind of help direct the cow. he just they finally get the cow out of the arena, and the cowboy's like riding out, and the other cowboy just walks up to him, just pats him on the back, like whatever. But it stood there and charged the horses. It was so fantastic. Lisa, thank you for posting that. We're going to repost it on our Facebook page so everybody can see it, because it is definitely worth a viewing.
That palomino is now taken up reigning. No cows involved.
That palomino's like, just give me a trail. Just give me a trail. That's all I'm going to do. It's just a point where the horse is not even looking at the cow. And the cow just runs up after it. The horse is like, ah, what did I do? It's so screwed. It is never, this cowboy's like, here goes my $50,000 cow horse down the drain. I'm trying this thing again.
And any chance of breeding that, using that horse for breeding, forget it.
And I wonder what happened to the cow, because either they're like, this thing is special, we need to take it somewhere and retire it, or they're like, we need to kill this thing right now, because it does not need to do this anymore. I hope they retired him. They're like, okay, you win.
I do want to point out, though, just to be fair to all American cowboys, this was filmed in Europe somewhere. Because if you hear that... Yeah, if you listen to the commentary, it's some foreign language. If you listen to it, it's not American. It's not English.
Okay. I'll let that go then. We'll see.
Not an American.
I still family. Cheer for the cow. I always cheer for the cow. Way to go, cow!
Well, that cow won. Yep, no question about it, that cow won.
Now, speaking of cows, if I may... I've got to point this out, Glenn, and I know you're probably going to be like, don't talk about that because it's not something that's fun to talk about, but it's disgusting, and I would like to make another plea to all of our listeners to please, please, please become a vegetarian. Do it for yourself. Do it for your horse, because this is what's really, really bad. Authorities, remember the whole horse meat and the burger meat?
Oh, geez, it's been all over the news. It's been everywhere.
Oh, everywhere. Food authorities in Britain and Ireland are trying to close in on the source of the horse meat that found its way into beef burgers that were sold in supermarkets. Millions of burgers were pulled from freezers across Britain and Ireland, all over the place in Europe, because of horse meat traces. Now, they found horse DNA at very low levels in some samples and at very high levels in other samples. Like 29% of the meat was not beef, according to the samples that they've done. And it was sold mostly in this grocery store called Tesco. Well, you would think, okay, where did they get the meat? They got it from this place. Okay, well, let's go to that place and find out who put the meat in there. I mean, who put the bad meat in there? They cannot track it down because the meat has come from so many different places. They have meat that came from 6 to 8 different plants at times in other countries, in Spain, and all these crazy countries are putting meat that is somehow ending up in the same packaging. So you've got meat from cows in Spain that are meat from cows in Ireland that are ending up in the same packaging, and they can't figure out when certain meat products got put in with other meat products and wrapped and packaged and sold. Does that give you an idea of where your meat comes from? They don't even know where it comes from. They can't even track it down.
They could track it very easily. They could just follow what happened to the cow in that video, because I guarantee you, he didn't hang around in the competition ring very long. Just follow the cow in the video. You'll find it.
There was a plant called Silvercrest that had to shut down on Friday after new testing revealed that 9 of their 13 burger products had horse meat in them. 9 of their 13. And this plant is only one of several plants that they have. There's third-party continental suppliers that they cannot seem to track down where the meat came from that is in these. You people are eating this stuff. That's my tangent for today. Please, stop eating this crap. You're killing yourself. Just stop. Even if go ahead and buy organic, farm-raised right there in your neighbor's place. whatever.
While you're on a rant, I'm just going to go on one too. I would please like the president to try and outlaw horses in the morning, because apparently, if you go to gun stores across America now, there isn't a gun to be found. There are shortages of bullets all across the country, and I'm figuring if he goes on and tries to outlaw our show, we'll be more popular. We will actually make money doing this, Jamie.
We will be an underground authority on horses.
I'm pleading for somebody to try and outlaw us so that we can become popular. What do you think?
You know what? We're going to have to ask Leslie what she thinks about that. We've got Leslie from Horse Nation is actually on here. She's sorry you've had to listen to my rant and then Glenn's rant about guns. I tried to change the subject from the guns because he'll get me fired up on that one. So, Leslie, tell us where you're calling us from, darling.
Wait. I have, before we leave, vacate that topic completely, are you guys ready for a horse burger joke?
Oh, no.
Again.
Go ahead.
Okay. To beef or not to beef, that is equestrian.
Is that a joke?
You know, that is the question. That is equestrian.
We got it. That's hilarious. Maybe you should stick to writing.
Drop the stand-up.
If you have to explain the punchline, it's bad. Yeah.
Oh, I'm a sucker for bad jokes.
All right, Leslie. Talk to us a little bit about where you're calling from. Because from what I understand, you had a major meltdown to your new husband. Okay, new husband, by the way. You've been married less than a year. And you had a major breakdown, and you have now left him. Is that what I heard? You left your husband?
I have run away with my horse, yes.
Yeah. Now tell us why that happened.
Not my secret lover, my horse. So I live in East Tennessee, and we have just had a ridiculously terrible last week weather-wise. First, we had like 3 days straight of just relentless rain, and then the temperatures dropped and the rain turned to snow, and we got several inches of snow, and then the temperatures went back up and the snow melted, and then we have this sort of icy mud slush. And so on a Friday evening, I was just not doing well at all. I just started weeping in front of my poor husband. And keep in mind, we've only been married, just like not even a year yet. So I don't know if he fully grasped the full extent of my pathos, I was like, oh my God, to ride once this week, and I'm never going to be ready for event season. It's not okay. I'm not okay. And this is, just on and on and on, and bless his heart. So eventually he's just like, sweetheart, maybe you should take your horse somewhere else.
Get the hell out of here.
Because you're scaring me. I was like, okay.
So what I'm actually hearing is you didn't leave your husband. Your husband threw you out.
that's another way to look at it.
So you are now, where are you now?
At the moment, I'm in Tryon. I left on Saturday, and my jump trainer lives in Tryon, so I thought I'd stick around here for a couple days. Yesterday, it was so nice here yesterday. We were wearing T-shirts in the afternoon, and it's kind of wet here, but their ring's great, and there's plenty of space to ride, so... and then I think we might head on down to Aiken after that. I don't know. I've been looking into, just like, where can I go that's not East Tennessee? Looking into all these southern possibilities. And one of the coolest ideas that I ran across was did you know that Myrtle Beach is open to horses from, like, the third week in November until the end of February?
Like the beach?
The beach. Yeah, you park at the Myrtle Beach, the state park there, and then you can just ride wherever you like on the beach.
How did I not know that when I still lived in the East Coast?
I mean, like, how cool would it be to do your trot sets on the beach, really?
Oh, awesome. You couldn't hold me to the trot. I have to gallop on the beach. You just have to. My horse would be so fit. I'd gallop 9 miles one way, 9 miles back.
Be ready for Rolex.
Yep. That's so cool. So how long are you planning on being gone since you ditched your husband?
It is indefinite at this point. I know I packed. My official answer is I don't know. call me when it's warm and dry at home, and I'll think about coming back. I packed a lot of clothes and a lot of grain, so I don't know the possibility.
You married a gem, that's for sure. That is for sure. So now let me just point out something, because a little red flag popped up. When you couldn't ride your horse and you started crying uncontrollably, you may want to do a pregnancy test. That was my first clue, was the uncontrollable crying.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah. So enjoy your little, like, riding right now. And you may, don't take the test until you're already back. Okay?
Okay.
Because it'll ruin everything.
Now, were you crying over little things like, we're out of peanut butter? Or was it... Or was it like major life traumas, like you can't ride your horse?
I don't really have major life traumas, and I was still crying. So yes, probably peanut butter.
Okay.
Actually, you know what it was? There was one point where I had saved some food, and Chad took it for lunch for work, and it was just leftovers from a Mexican restaurant, and he just grabbed it and took it to work for lunch, and I started crying because my leftovers were gone. And I was like, when do I become this food obsessed? Oh, God. Uh-oh, I'm in trouble now. Yeah. So, but don't do what I did. I just put off the taking of the testing. Don't do it. Because I was competing. I still had Galway and the fall to do. I still wanted to do the international event at Galway. And I was going to run training. And I couldn't take it. So I didn't take the test until afterwards.
Okay.
So, congratulations on being able to go south. And please make sure you video and take a million pictures when you get to Myrtle Beach, because you have to go, girl. You just have to.
I have to go. It's calling my name.
Even if your horse has to live in the trailer for a couple days. But if I can.
Tie it to a tree, to a palm tree.
Use your... Exactly. But it'll be a palm tree. So there you go. So what else is going on horse Horse Nation?
Well, while I was stuck inside, feeling sorry for myself, I got to fantasizing about indoor arenas. You know, just my favorite game. Let's Google blah blah blah. So one day last week, I thought, let's Google indoor riding arena or fancy indoor riding arenas and see what comes up. And I just, there were five in particular that just were clearly rising above the rest. And so I compiled those into a post called Five Indoor Riding Arenas That Will Blow Your Mind. And they truly, truly are impressive, just works of architecture. And you know, I would. It could rain 365 days a year, and I would be fine if I had one of these riding arenas. So that's worth checking out, for sure.
And they're so extravagant. But I noticed a theme was we're talking Czech Republic, Austria, so many in other countries. But there is one in New York that is to die for.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's
like a church.
It looks like a church. It's called Grand Central Farm in North Salem, New York, and it's just gorgeous. I mean, I would live inside of it.
Yeah, without a doubt. Now, there's no indoor riding arena more beautiful, and I got to go when I was like 23, and I just
packed up all my stuff and went to Europe. And I went to Austria and I went to Vienna to go see the Spanish Riding School.
Uh-huh.
And you've got some awesome pictures of it there because you were not allowed to take pictures. But
uh-huh.
what's amazing to me is in the Spanish Riding School, I mean, chandeliers, the white ornate ceilings. It's like you're in some Victorian mansion from, I don't know, when was it born? When was it made? 1700s? So
mm-hmm.
you're in this unbelievable place, and there is 15 to 20 horses that are doing dressage at the same time. All stallions, all riding at the same exact time. And Leslie and Jen, you'll be able to understand. Have you ever been to one of those barns where there's a riding ring, be it indoor or outdoor, and there's one person in it, and they clearly get mad when you come in to ride at the same time as them in the arena? And they're like, excuse me, I was in here. And you're like, honey, go to Europe. There'll be 40 horses in this size arena, and they all figure it out. So we can, too. Have you ever experienced that when somebody gets mad at you for sharing the arena?
Oh, yeah.
I've not ever really had to, I've never, you know, been at a barn that had an indoor arena. So, which I thought was, oh, outdoor? Yeah.
There's always that guy. There's always that guy.
These barns usually start out with, and we know from experience, they usually start out with, everybody can just get along, just go in there, ride, it'll be fine. And then you go, after the bickering starts, you go to sign-up sheets. And then nobody follows the sign-up sheets, and finally the barn owners just pretty much give up after at some point, because nobody gets along when it comes to who gets to ride when. Just never works
well,
out.
One of the last places I was boarded at, it was this Pirelli chick. Her name was Diana. I could throw out your last name, and she would get so mad. And I'm like, your horse is on a long lead rope. Why are you mad I'm in here trotting? I'm kidding. Shake your lead rope at me, little lady. But anyway, yes, these places are fantastic. You definitely want to go to Horse Nation and check them out because, oh, my God, they just make you do that. Like, oh, never, but I dream. And now, speaking of people going south, talk to us about the cartoon.
Oh, yes. And then our illustrator, cartoonist, Morgane Schmidt, she is always coming up with these hilarious little, you know, she has to we count on her to inject comic relief and in all these various facets of equestrian life because... you know, it's that sort of idea of if you don't laugh about it, you might cry. clearly. So this week's comic was called Reason Number 17 That Equestrians Winter in Florida, and it has this picture of a girl peering into her horse's stall, and there's been a clearly, her automatic water has frozen and exploded, and the entire stall is wet and frozen, and the horse is freezing, and yeah, disaster.
That's the reason you left East Tennessee. How about that?
That's right.
That's why you relate so well to this one. Well, everybody, check it out at horsenation.com. The cartoon is really cute. You can also see all the indoor riding arenas, plus, you know, five or six times a day, Leslie will just post something really ridiculous. And they're probably going to be even more giddy and ridiculous since she's husband-free and living the life down south. So enjoy that. And Leslie, thank you so much for coming on. We hope that things go as you have them planned. And remember, don't take the test until, you know, you get back.
Cry. I'm never coming back. I don't know.
Your poor husband. Bless his heart. All right. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay. Take care.
Okay. Bye. Oh, so she's so lucky. I never got to go south. And I mean, I lived in Atlanta, but then I lived up in Ohio and I lived in Kentucky for a long time and it was just cold. And you just dealt with it. I never thought, I'm just going to bail and go south. Who does that?
Well, and Well, a lot of people do it, as tested by our restaurants around here at this time of year.
Really?
Yeah, it's really busy, and traffic picks up. Yeah, there's a lot of people here. Matter of fact, we were driving through our neighborhood yesterday to head out, and there were two eventers trotting down the middle of the road. They come in. There's a lot of eventers right around our property here. I think Buck Davidson's place is like we pass it on the way up to town. I think his place is right out there, too. So you see all the eventers out riding right now. You see them in the fields and out working the horses, doing trot sets and things.
That's so cool. That is so cool.
Now, you and people wouldn't think where Leslie lives. She lives in eastern Tennessee, but it's sort of in the mountains of eastern Tennessee. So it gets pretty cold, and you get ice and snow, and you do get stuff there. But now there's people up in Michigan who right now are going, are you kidding me? She had a breakdown. Come up here and try it.
I started thinking, like, yeah, she's actually quite lucky that she was in Tennessee. But it still gets cold. It still gets cold. I mean, you remember living in Kentucky. I still thought Kentucky was kind of the South, but definitely
We had major ice storms there that caused massive problems. Now, what I got to say, though, comparatively speaking, I had a friend of mine who I'm friends with on Facebook who lives in Canada. And she posted a picture of her thermometer now this was actually in Fahrenheit. It was minus 40. So there you go.
No. There's nobody lives in minus 40. Santa Claus doesn't even live in minus 40.
And all our friends up there in Alaska who I know listen to the show, yeah, they're laughing right now going, yeah, right.
Good. Awesome. That's fun. I'm glad I live in Phoenix. Finally got back to normal here. It was like 75 yesterday, so we're back.
Oh, you're finally back to fairly warm weather over there?
Well, the four nights of freezing, remember I was complaining about it being frozen. I didn't remember any, like, it freezing like this. It hadn't frozen like that four nights in a row in 100 years. So welcome. Lucky me. All my plants are dead. All my automatic water is broke. Everything's broken, but it's not frozen anymore. But 100 years. It's ridiculous.
Well, I got to talk to you about something else before we go here today, and that is, do you remember when we took the trip to California and we went to Norco and we got to meet Dominique, and we went over and we got to pet and play with her zebras. Remember, you got to hug them and kiss them, and you were snuggling with the little baby and everything.
Yeah.
Well, Jamie has had a lot of time in her hands because her husband's gone and she's a bachelorette that's pregnant, so she can't drink or carry on. So she's had nothing to do except sit around the house, and she's starting to get the nursery prepared. And she did do a really terrific job, I have to say. She painted a great big giraffe on the wall. Now, this giraffe, cartoonish giraffe that she painted on the wall, which I was really impressed that she had any artistic ability at all. But from floor to ceiling, this giraffe is huge. She had to stand on a ladder to get to the top, I guarantee you. Well, yeah. She posted another picture on Facebook, and we'll post it on our Horses in the Morning page. She decided that the giraffe was lonely in the kids' nursery coming up here, so she painted a zebra. Well, now, I think Jamie didn't pass math class because the zebra is really cute. And by the way, I love the face. You can make a stuffed animal out of that in a minute. So you did a good job that way. But I think your counting was off because this zebra only had two stripes. I'm just saying.
It had more than two stripes. Look again, Glenn. Look again.
Let me look. Let me look again because I'm only seeing two stripes on the body. Well, okay, there's a couple on the neck. All right, so I give it four stripes.
Okay. Well,
were you
thanks.
Running out of paint, or you just didn't want to paint that many?
Listen, did you notice a theme between the giraffe I painted on the wall and the zebra I painted on the wall? The giraffe has like five spots, and the zebra has. Well, let me. I'm going to go here and count. Let's see. Has stripes on the neck, stripes on the face. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 black stripes on the body, and then has stripes on the tail and stripes on the legs. So thank you very much. However,
it's cute though.
You get over next to a freaking wall with a paintbrush, try to do straight lines that don't run over each other 100 times on a zebra. There's a reason I chose these zebras. Here's what I did to pick these animals. I Googled cartoon zebra. Google image search,
And that's what came up. And there's a billion that come up. And I picked the easiest stripey-less ones, like the ones with the least stripes and the giraffe with the least spots. So I went with simplicity, Glenn.
Simplicity. I assume you drew them on the wall first. You just sent them freehand this. Did you draw an outline first?
I drew an outline with a grease pencil and then painted. That's pretty much what I did. It was not anything fancy. There wasn't like sketching or anything crazy. I just actually just held up the picture and I drew it and then I painted it.
Well, now I would have had trouble because I would have had to start over 55 times and I'd have been erasing grease for 3 days. Did you get it the first time?
Except for the zebra butt. Apparently, Chad informed me before he left that I made the zebra's butt too big, so I had to trim it a little bit because he does have a
little bit of ghetto booty going there.
He has some major ghetto booty, exactly.
But it looks terrific. We'll have to post the picture. He's cute. I love his face. As I said, you can make stuffed animals out of these easy.
Well, you just haven't seen the. There's one more to go. There's one more animal I have yet to paint, and he's already drawn on the wall, but I already don't like it. I got to figure it out. It's a lion, and he's on the other wall, so he's not close enough to, like, reach out and grab him, so it'll be fine. And he's a baby lion.
Yeah, they're tough to do. Are you going to paint each individual little hair like they do at Pixar?
There's a reason I pick simple, tiny, easy to paint animals, okay? There's a reason.
Are you all ready for the baby now? Have you bought all the furniture and you're just ready?
No. I don't think I'll ever be ready until, you know, like it's home and I'm like, oh, crud. But no, I'm not ready. I still have stuff to buy and just trying to do one thing at a time, one thing a month trying to buy because there's so much expensive stuff you have to have. It's crazy. It's really expensive to have a kid, if anybody wants
buying
to know.
Buying baby stuff is sort of like buying horse stuff, isn't it? They just double the price of everything.
You know, that's a really good point. It's like you can't have enough horse stuff. Well, apparently everybody thinks you can't have enough baby stuff. But you know what I want to implement in the horse world? Horse showers. How often would that be? Instead of a baby
there
shower,
you go.
I get a horse shower.
When you get a new horse, except for you, people, you really get sick of coming to your horse showers every new horse you got.
It almost has to be your first horse. If you get your first horse, you have to have a horse shower. God, I love that idea. I'm going to text Leslie and have her write about that.
There you go.
Leslie.
That's terrific. All right, well, we'll be back again on Wednesday morning here live. We'll have a show for you tomorrow, though, so tune in. Don't forget you can listen to all the shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. You can follow us on Twitter at Horse Radio. And also, you can find all the past shows of Horses in the Morning. If you want to listen to a past episode, just go to horsesinthemorning.com, and they're all there, all 570-something of them. 576 of them are there at Horses in the Morning.
Crazy,
that's crazy.
Crazy. Yeah. If you can't find one of those to listen to, I don't know what's wrong with you. You're not a horse person. All right, thanks, everybody, for tuning in today. Don't forget, start getting in your really bad ads now. We need a good collection. Actually, I don't even think we're doing it this Friday, are we?
No, but we'll be saving them for next week. So get your really bad ads in for next week. We have a special show coming up for you on Friday all about dogs. So we have we've been working on that one together, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. We don't talk about dogs enough, I think, in this show. We all have dogs. Everybody at that driving event the other day had a dog. I mean, I swear there were more dogs than people. Yeah. And we brought Glory along. So look at that.
Good.
He did good. Yep. All right, everybody, talk to you on Wednesday morning. Have a terrific day.
Bye, everybody. Spay, neuter, and geld, and go vegetarian.
Geld, unless you have a winning racehorse, then wait a little.
Good point.